Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. My daughter, Adeline, here making her Tan and J-Man Show debut because my wife is not here yet. But she will be here in a few minutes. Addie wanted to show off her Dolphins shirt.
She's ready for the game.
Monday night game. So she's... Go Dolphins!
She's ready. She's ready.
She's ready.
She's ready for the... Tyler Huntley show.
Oh, yeah, the Tyler Huntley show. I think she's a little more ready than I am. All right, say bye to Tan and J-Man Show Nation. Say bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great first cameo.
Yep.
Cameos are pretty rare on the Tan and J-Man Show. So
they are. They are very rare, especially with both of us on here. It's usually just... somebody's on here for an entire episode, but yeah,
good stuff, man.
Now our wives are next.
One of these days, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen. We're gonna need a lot of preparation, but it's gonna happen.
Yeah, definitely. But how you doing, T Dog?
I'm doing pretty good, Jay, man. You know, I love football weekends, so I love the idea of football weekends. Lately, I have not loved college football Saturdays at all. The last 2 weeks in particular, because not only does my favorite team just lose and get embarrassed week after week anymore, the teams I root against are winning. All three of them. Yeah, that I would root against every week. I had to think about that. Three of them. But thankfully, the last 2 weeks, the Broncos have saved my football weekends.
Yeah.
And I don't care how ugly it was yesterday in that 10-9. Pathetic offensive showing, rainy weather game. They got it done. If you would have told me before those two games they're going to go 2-0 back-to-back weeks and 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time starts, I said you're crazy. I honestly don't know. I was trying to find it last night. I don't know the last time the Broncos have went back-to-back road wins in the Eastern time zone. I think it's at least in the 90s. Like, I couldn't. I was trying to find it.
It's probably pretty rare for a – you know, I guess they're mountain time, but a Western sort of team to play back-to-back weeks in the Eastern time zones probably doesn't happen very often.
Right. So, I mean, of course, the Chiefs, I'm sure, have taken advantage of it probably the last few years sometime. But yeah, so, I'm enjoying it. My NFL fandom, college football, not so much right now, but hey, that's sports. That's sports. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Verizon was down for 6 hours today. So I've been in the dark because I had no Wi-Fi at work due to security reasons for my job. And so at first I'm like, okay, here we are 2 hours in, still no service. Okay, they'll get it fixed. And then the end of the day, I still had no service. And I legitimately thought we were in the apocalypse there for a little while because I have not been disconnected like that about since I got a cell phone in about 2007-ish, I would say, is when I got a cell phone, 2006, 2007. And so I have kind of been off the grid, not really knowing what has happened in the sports world today over the past 7 hours or so, but doing all right there, Tana, man.
Well, yeah, I can help fill you in a little bit. Dikembe Mutombo unfortunately passed away today.
Did see
age
that.
Age of 58 from brain cancer. I wasn't even aware he had brain cancer, diagnosed in 2022. The finger wag, one of the best gestures in sports history. And then the Mets won a heck of a baseball game today over the Braves. It was a back and forth roller coaster of emotions for those fan bases. The Mets pulled it off, so the Mets are officially in the playoffs now. Yeah, that was about it. That was about it, I guess.
Yeah, the interesting. I mean, we finally, I always root for chaos in these situations, and we finally got a little bit of chaos in baseball. Mm-hmm. With, of course, the hurricane coming through, Atlanta had to cancel at least two games against the Mets. So they had to play a doubleheader today because everything that had to happen for chaos to happen yesterday. You had the Mets and Diamondbacks win, Braves lose. So now the Braves and Mets had to play a doubleheader today. And as you said, the Mets won the first one, so they have clinched. If the Braves pull this one off, Braves will clinch. If they lose, Diamondbacks are in. And as of right now, it's a 1-0 game. Braves are winning in the seventh inning. So I'm sure they're feeling a little nervous about that one, as are the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we finally got some chaos. But before we get any further, do you have birdie bogey for me?
Yes, I do, and it is baseball related. So I'm glad you were talking baseball. And where's this? There's the bumper. And this comes from loyal Tan and J-Man Show viewer Sean Shriver, so I can't take credit for it. What starting pitcher has the most no decisions in MLB history with 188 no decisions?
Man. Jeez. It's got to be somebody that was around for a long time.
You are correct.
I have no idea. That's a good question, though. And something I can honestly say I've never even thought about.
I can't believe there's somebody that had that many no decisions.
Yeah. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Their fall menu is out, starting with a Parmesan-crusted cauliflower, crispy cauliflower florets? I don't know. Delicately seasoned and coated in a light Parmesan crumb, then oven roasted to a lovely golden brown, accompanied by Sriracha Ranch for dipping. They have a tomahawk pork chop, a bison burger, and then for the fish lovers out there, they have halibut. So,
you ever had tomahawk?
I've had a tomahawk ribeye.
I've never had tomahawk anything.
Not a tomahawk pork chop.
You said ribeye. Never mind. I said you had a tomahawk steak. Idiot.
I think it's just the way it's cut, right? I don't
really know.
Most tomahawks have like bone in.
Is ribeye your cut of choice?
Yeah, it's the most flavorful. I go back and forth between ribeye and New York strip because they're pretty similar. New York strip's a little less fatty, so sometimes you can get ribeye and it's so fatty it's almost chewy and almost
right. Right.
You know, where I don't have that issue usually with New York strip. So depending on what I'm feeling, I'm going back and forth.
What temperature? What temperature guy are you?
I don't remember. Got to be medium rare.
I do both medium rare or medium. I can do a medium, but I can't do anything about medium.
No, it cooks the flavor out, makes it a little too gritty almost. My mother-in-law always goes medium well. Every single time she orders that, I make fun of her every single time without fail. So it's got to be medium rare. For a burger, I'm always medium because sometimes those things can get too rare if it's mid rare.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've had that before it's bloody and ruins the whole thing. But
yeah, with a cheeseburger or something, I like it a little more on the higher end.
But go to the Arlington Public House and they can make your steak. They got all the great cuts, and they can make it the perfect temperature for you. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, last time I was there, I had the smoked rib or the smoked what was that? It wasn't filet, smoked prime rib. It was really good. Yes.
Yep. Very good. So, I think the last time I was there was with you.
Good grub.
Need to go back. Need to go back sometime soon. So, all right. Well, let's talk some college football, shall we? 5 weeks in the books now. Kind of hard to believe. Season is flying by. I do want to talk about my Purdue Boilermakers a little bit. Not really the game on Saturday that saw them lose to the Cornhuskers 28-10, although they were in it for a while. It was tied 0-0 at half, which was the first Purdue football game since the Notre Dame game in 1993 that was 0-0 at half. They're in it till fourth quarter, really. I mean, 7-3 going into fourth, and then Nebraska flexed their muscles and took over there in the fourth. But that's not really what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the news that came out yesterday and today that Purdue offensive coordinator Graham Harrell has been given the boot after just four games this season. Of course, 1 year last year. But he was Purdue's most highest paid coordinator in program history, making $1 million a year. Just wasn't working. Ryan Walters said his press conference today he pulled the trigger on it. He made the decision. I'm sure the AD pushed for it too, though. I'm sure it wasn't a solely made decision. Maybe it was. I could be wrong. But today he announced that offensive analyst Jason Simmons is being promoted to interim OC. Jason Simmons does not have a lot of college coaching experience under his belt. He was Miami, Ohio's running back coach last year. Before that, he spent 4 years as the head coach at Ben Davis High School. And before that, he was Noblesville's head coach. So very good high school head coach in the state of football, or the state of Indiana. High school football coach in the state of Indiana. Wow, words are hard tonight. I am struggling. But, of course, has not had much college coaching experience, but he has called offensive plays before, because you look across Purdue staff, there is not a lot of guys who have called offensive plays. A lot that have called defensive plays or defense side of the ball, but not offense. So will this change Purdue's fortunes? I don't know. Was this a grasping at straws move? Possibly. But at least it shows the fan base that they're serious about trying something, serious about trying to get it turned around. Because Walters even said in his press conference today, you know, if this was a decision, we already made our mind up that we're going to make in December, why let it bleed out?
Right.
You know, rip the Band-Aid off now, because even though you're off to a really bad 1-3 start, you still have 8 games left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you still have a good portion of the season left, and you never know. Maybe this is the spark that the team needs, but something, because the offense I've seen the first 4 games out of Graham Harrell was not creative at all. Doesn't get wide receivers open on easy throws. Some of that might be on the wide receivers themselves just not being good enough to get open. Hudson Card's running for his life most of the time, or getting happy feet when he's getting pressured. That's the biggest disappointment with this Purdue team. I thought offense would be the strength. Defense would be cause for concern. And defense hasn't been great by any means, but they've been head and shoulders better than the offense. And so, we'll see.
Which is really saying something, considering they gave up 66 points 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So,
do you think Ryan Walters is in over his head?
I think if he could go back and redo it, he would add some different people to his staff, maybe a more veteran-based staff of people he could rely on when things are going bad. I don't think he has that on his staff right now. I mean, he's a very competitive guy. You can tell it's eating at him, and I think he's poured his heart and soul into Purdue, and that's why this is crushing him, because it's just not going as he pictured. Now, I'm not calling for his head. I was calling for Graham Harrell's head. I will admit I wanted him gone after the Oregon State game even. Didn't think they'd pull the trigger now, but glad they did. I think Walters deserves one more year no matter what, unless they don't win another game. But even then, I could make a case why he deserves one more year. Sure. This is a program, and times have changed over the last decade, but this is a program that let Darryl Hazel stick around when he could only win 9 games in 3.5 seasons and fired him in his 4th year.
Was Bobinski the AD then when they fired him?
He was. That was his first year.
Okay.
His first football season. That was, his move midseason. But so we'll see. I still think it sends a wrong message if you fire a guy after 2 years. I mean, potential candidates could look at that. I'm like, oh my God, if I don't win right away, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they can turn things around. Unfortunately, they have an opponent up in Wisconsin this weekend that they haven't beat since 2003. Then doesn't get any easier traveling to a ranked team over in Champaign against Illinois the following week. But that's the schedule. You knew it coming out in the preseason. And really, they're only 1 game behind where I had them. I had them 2-2 after September. But that was like worst case scenario, 2-2 if they want to make a bowl. Right. You can't be 1-3. And here they are 1-3. So we'll see. But I mean, I guess in my opinion, trying to be optimistic, it's a step. This move, letting Harrell go, is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. The offense was brutal. They scored, garbage time against Notre Dame just to score their 7. Had some moments against Oregon State.
Running the ball.
Not running the ball. Yeah, and again, it was garbage time against Nebraska, too, because it was 28-3, wasn't it?
Right.
Something had to change. And honestly, it is a show of good faith from Ryan Walters that, hey, we're not going to be, complacent because the year's not starting the way we thought it'd be. And we're just going to kind of fold and keep everything where it's at. So at least he's trying something. Who knows? It might spark him for a week or two. The lack of experience on the offensive staff is probably a little concerning.
Absolutely is. And he said they might add other people to the staff as the year goes on, maybe some other analysts. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what his coaching network looks like out there. But I also think they needed to make this move to send a message to the fans, mm-hmm. because the attendance has been really well. The attendance on Saturday was their highest homecoming attendance since 2005. So, and they announced the Northwestern game for some reasons already sold out in November, and Oregon and Penn State are close. So people are showing up to games, but you can't lose that fan interest, because once you lose the fans, it's hard to get them back.
Oh, I think we're pretty sure Northwestern's sending 30,000 fans there.
Yep, that must be it. Yep.
It's got to be it.
So, but other than that, around the country, Notre Dame got a touchdown win over Purdue's former head coach, Jeff Brohm, up in South Bend. Notre Dame got off the big two-touchdown lead, then hung on at the end. Riley Leonard looked good from what I saw. Colorado stomped Central Florida, unfortunately. They're 4-1, and Travis Hunter hits the Heisman pose, which hard to argue right now with the way he's playing on both sides of the ball. He's definitely in contention, I would say.
Definitely.
They do have a bye week this week, which is interesting because they've got momentum going. Maybe this isn't the week they wanted to have a bye. And then Indiana, 5-0 for the first time in 57 years, ranked 23rd now in the polls, and they got at Northwestern this weekend. Win that game, they're bowling already. So
yeah, they're a lot better.
Sure.
Their schedule has been cupcake city so far.
It is pretty soft. But to their credit, they're handling their opponents they're playing. Even though Maryland gave them a game for a while.
Maryland's okay. UCLA's trash. Charlotte's trash. Western Illinois is trash. I don't even remember who they played week one. Florida International or something.
Yes, West Florida International.
Yeah. I did see something. It was like, man, the two teams that are so happy to be out of the Big Ten East are Rutgers and Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. So, and I think Indiana's early success too might have put pressure on Purdue to make a move as well.
Would have.
So, elsewhere around the country, Arch Manning looked good against Mississippi State. Alabama, Georgia went from snoozer to an absolute classic.
Yeah.
The talent on those teams is incredible. I think we will see them meet again, whether that's SEC championship or the playoff itself. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. Mississippi, the big spenders in NIL, lose at home to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Kentucky's almost knocked off two top 10 teams.
They
should have beat Georgia, honestly.
Yep. Michigan hung on for their dear life against PJ Fleck and the Gophers. About blew that one.
Bad, bad offsides call on the onside kick. Cost Minnesota a chance anyway.
USC pulled away from Wisconsin in the second half. Rutgers pulled off a good one Friday night over Washington. Penn State and Illinois hung in there for a while. It was a low-scoring game.
Penn State dominated them, honestly. They ran all over them. I think James Franklin's a bottom five or six head coach in the Big Ten. I just think he's not a very good head coach. And he made some decisions that really kept Illinois in the ballgame. Illinois drove down the field, scored their first possession, and then didn't do anything after that. And the only reason why it was still a close game is because Franklin went for it on 4th-and-3 at the 20. He went for it a couple other times they didn't get. Now, Illinois' defense kept them in it for the most part. But you look at the stats, and I think Penn State probably outgained them by 300 yards.
Well, it's kind of like Jeff Brohm. He went for it twice on 4th down from midfield against Notre Dame and didn't get it either time. So very over-aggressively play call.
Yeah.
Ohio State smacked Michigan State up in East Lansing. Am I forgetting it? Oh, and Oregon took care of UCLA. I watched a little bit of that game. Man, it's hard to stay up for those 11 o'clock games if you don't have a team that you care for.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't tired yet and watched a little bit. I'm like, okay, Oregon's finding their groove. They're pretty quick out there on the football field.
So, I don't remember the last time I've seen 11 o'clock on a weekend. Let's be honest.
Well, you are a father of of a almost 10-month-old.
So. Yeah, this week.
Yes. So, any other things that jump out to you from around the country in week 5?
I don't, but I have pick 6 that is all college football related. So,
and Florida State is just reeling.
They're terrible.
Forgot to put that up there.
Which it's hilarious that SMU dominated them, because in Florida State's lawsuit against the ACC, they mentioned SMU by name, pretty much saying these guys are not in the same class as us. And
you're just asking to get whooped to doing something
and
like that.
They did too. So,
yep.
But I have some pick six here, college football related, right, starting with 17-year-old wide receiver from Alabama, Ryan Williams.
Yeah, 17 years old and what he's doing out there. He's blown away older men of 21, 22. Yeah. There's probably some older ones out there I don't know about that are sixth-year guys. Georgia might not have any sixth-year guys, but yeah, what he's doing is incredible, man. And Alabama, people thought, you know, Caleb DeBoer, let's see how they do. They're right back dominating again.
Yeah. There's like five people on that coaching staff, including the head coach that were on Indiana's 2019 coaching staff. Which is
there's one incredible that was under a lot of Jeff Brohm's staff at Purdue too, Jamarcus Shepherd. So,
Jalen Milroe,
he's a freak. When he gets running, it's hard to bring him down. He's quick, big, strong. He needed a game like this. Mm-hmm. He needed a show out game against an elite team, and he did it. Kind of makes up for his performance against Michigan last year. And not that he was awful in the playoff, but he couldn't get it done there. So, he's the real deal.
Yeah. Freshman wide receiver from Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith.
Just the list continues of great Ohio State wide receivers. Plug and play.
Yeah.
He's the next one.
Handed catches he made on Saturday.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. They had Marvin Harrison Jr. do it for years. Now this guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the Big Ten for at least 3 years. So it's the way. Maybe. Yeah. He's just scratching. Well, he's got to be till his
depending on if he, wants to go to Georgia or somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Well, Ohio State can match anybody.
That's fair.
I mean, their roster's $20 million walking around. So,
yeah. Dylan Raiola.
Raiola. I was like, who'd you say? I thought Purdue got to him a little bit. I mean, it was his first road game, but you can tell he's going to be very good. He's going to be very good. But, man, it is eerie when you watch him from the stands. You think it's Mahomes at times just by how he walks and his manner. He can't run like Mahomes.
No.
But
I was thinking that while watching it. Like, Mahomes is quite a bit more athletic.
Yeah.
Than Raiola is. But even the way he walks just kind of looks like him too.
Yep. And the student section had three different times chanting, "You're not Patrick," which is was kind of funny. But they got the last laugh. They brought so many people.
It probably looked worse than it probably was, just because red against
red
looks worse. But it looked like a lot of red.
They travel well.
We already talked about this guy, but Graham Harrell.
Yeah, I never root for people, even though I was calling for said. I don't like it when people lose their jobs, even though he's getting paid $1 million. I mean, he seems like a good guy, just for whatever reason, just didn't work out. I mean, he was a guy Walters wanted. You know, one of the first things they did was go down and get Hudson Card or sit with Hudson Card to try to get him to Purdue in the portal 2 years ago. And it just didn't work out. And you look at his track record, didn't really work out at USC for him. Didn't work out the greatest at West Virginia. I'm sure he's aspiring to be a head coach, but I don't know if that's going to happen for him because your track record of being an OC is not going that great. But maybe he'll land on his feet somewhere, maybe as a quarterback coach somewhere.
Last one here, Ashton Jeanty.
Got to help me out here.
Boise State's running back. He has 845 rushing yards and 13 touchdowns through four games.
I knew they had a good running back, didn't know his name. So, I would think if he keeps that up, got to be in Heisman consideration, right?
Well, right now he's the betting favorite
To
win it, and he's on pace to break Barry Sanders' all-time single-season rushing record.
That would do it. Well, it's not going to be Ollie Gordon. He's overrated.
Yeah, he has 845 yards rushing on 82 carries.
That's ridiculous.
He's doing unbelievable stuff every single night, every single weekend, it seems like.
Yeah, with those stats, he'd probably be the top vote-getter in every state outside of Colorado then. So, because that's all I hear on my Twitter feed, Travis Hunter, and on the radio I listen to, Hunter, which – he is – they're not talking Shadir too much right now, but Travis Hunter is elite. Don't get me wrong. And I think in the pros, you put him at defensive back. instead of wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's scouts would agree with you too, because they say his wide receiver skills are solid, but his DB skills, he has a chance
to be. If running. I knew Deion wouldn't be in the shadows and in the way, I would love to see him become a Bronco. Mm-hmm. But if Deion's going to be around, I want nothing to do with that. And I'm just glad they won't be in the Shadir sweepstakes, because I couldn't do it.
I'm scared, honestly.
And they better not take Shiloh in the late round or anything. I don't want anything to do with him either.
Yeah, Shiloh's going to be the only sixth round pick to pull an Eli because of his dad.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? He'll be the only sixth round pick we see come across stage.
Yeah.
Oh man, they played well though. Central Florida was double digit favorites and they took it to them. But man, Rick Ross in the locker room before the game, it's like, come on,
I hate it. Yeah,
come on. They wouldn't give Cam Newton time of day. I don't know what that's about.
That's pretty funny though, because I'm not a big Cam fan.
I'm not a big Cam fan either. But I don't know what that's about though. So, all right, I better tell everybody who the Pick Six segment is brought to you by Like It Is every week. That is Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Yeah, it's hard to believe that planning for 2025 is coming up, at least
I know.
In the marketing world that I'm in, you know, planning for promotional stuff, that's what I usually start doing end of October, and we're almost there.
Yeah. Fast year. Always is.
Let's pick some Big Ten games, and then we'll pick some top 25 games. Big Ten starting Friday night, Michigan State at number 6, Oregon.
Give me Oregon for 6. I don't think Michigan State can hang.
I got the Ducks for 5. I'm right there with you. I don't think Michigan State has the offense. This game is a 9 o'clocker on Fox. It's not 8, 9 o'clock.
Not the first time they've played. I remember when Michigan State went out there and played, I believe, 10-ish years ago. We'll say
was it a home-home? Was it a home and home?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Purdue at Wisconsin. Like I said, the Boilers have not beaten the Badgers since 2003, and most of them haven't even been close. Wisconsin is a 14-point favorite. That line has went up. It was 10.5 when it opened up yesterday. I knew it was going to go up. I don't know why it even opened at 10.5.
Wisconsin's been thoroughly unimpressive so far, but at home, I think they take care of it, fairly handily. Give me Wisconsin for 7.
I got Wisconsin for 7 as well. I just have too much PTSD watching this series over the years. So UCLA at number 7, Penn State, who is a 27.5 point favorite.
Yeah. Penn State, that defensive line is nasty. Give me Penn State for 8.
I got the Lions for 8. There's no way they lose this one. No. Iowa. I honestly forgot about Iowa completely during the bye week for some reason. At number 3, Ohio State, who is a 20.5 point favorite.
Give me Ohio State for 5.
I got the Buckeyes for 4. I think they take care of business pretty easily, but there's just some other games I feel more confident about. Number 23, Indiana. That pains me to say that. The first time they've been ranked since the preseason rankings in 2021. At Northwestern.
Give me IU for 4. I think Northwestern is garbage.
I got Indiana for 6. I agree with you about Northwestern. Indiana's a 13.5 point favorite on the road. I wonder when the last time Indiana's been a 13.5 point favorite on the road in Big Ten play. It's probably been quite a while.
Yeah.
Good one here at 4 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. 4-0 Rutgers at 4-1 Nebraska, who's a 7-point favorite.
That's a very good one. Give me Nebraska for 3.
I got the Cornhuskers for 2. Number 10 Michigan, at Washington, rematch from the national championship game last year. Washington is a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Washington's not very good, but I think Michigan is very beatable. But I'm taking Michigan for 1.
I'm glad you did, because I'm taking Washington for win. I wanted to finally disagree somewhere. I feel like every week we agree too much on these Big Ten picks.
Yeah, I got every single one right last week, and I assume you did too, unless you picked somebody.
Yeah, we agreed. So, And number 11, USC at Minnesota. USC is an 8-point favorite on the road. I wanted this game to be late November.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me USC for 2.
I got the Trojans for 3. So let's see what top 25 games we have around the country. Ooh, interesting one. Friday night at 9 o'clock. 3-1 Syracuse at 4-0. Number 25, UNLV. 5.5-point favorites. They did just fine without their quarterback.
Yeah, their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, made big-time headlines last week, deciding to quit on his football team due to unpaid or unreceived NIL benefits. He went in there and supposedly demanded more. He was completing 43.8% of his passes when he did, but they went in and won at Kansas, who's now 1-4, who's terrible.
Yeah, what a bad year for them.
Yeah, started the year ranked number 19th, I think, or they got up to 19.
Right.
Give me UNLV in a close one.
I'm taking the Rebels as well. I like what Barry Odom's doing out there. Yeah. Old Missouri coach. So, SMU coming off that whooping of Florida State. They're 4-1. They travel to number 22, 3-1 Louisville, coming off the Notre Dame loss. Louisville's 7-point favorite.
I think Louisville bounces back.
I do too.
Yeah, maybe that's – I mean, Purdue's offense has been bad, not creative at all. But going from Jeff Brohm to anyone else is going to look a little less creative.
Good point. He's creative. He is. He knows how to scheme when he doesn't have talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, easier said than done. Number 9, Missouri, 4-0 at 4-1, Texas A&M, and A&M's a 2-point favorite.
Give me A&M. They've been playing some halfway decent ball.
I'll take Missouri on the road in this one. I would not want to be Auburn right now because not only are they 2-3, they're going to go into a number 5, ticked off 3-1 Georgia, who's a 24-point favorite.
Yeah, Georgia covers, and Hugh Freeze blames it on everyone else except himself.
Yes, he's the worst.
Yeah.
Number 12, Ole Miss at 3-1 South Carolina. Ole Miss is a 9-point favorite. Does a Lane train prevent it from being 2 in a row?
Big one really for both schools. South Carolina handled Kentucky earlier in the year. And then Kentucky, of course, has looked good against Georgia and then beat Ole Miss. But I think Ole Miss bounces back.
Give me Beamer in the Gamecocks. I don't know why.
Beamer ball.
If that happens, people are going to start talking about Lane at Ole Miss for some reason, just because of how much money they're spending, even though I don't think he's going anywhere. Number 15, Clemson at 1-4 Florida State. Clemson's a 15-point favorite.
Clemson's starting to score some points. Their offense was bad last year, and it started off the year bad, but they're starting to kind of get a little bit of momentum here again. So give me a Clemson in that one. Florida State, what a miserable season.
I've never seen a team drop off like this year to year.
Especially after projected to be pretty good, too.
Yeah, they were top 10. They were number 9 going over to Ireland. So Utah. Okay, no, I'm not. Utah State's 1-3. We're not predicting that game. Never mind. I thought they were better than that. Number 4, Tennessee. 4-0 traveling to 3-2 Arkansas. Tennessee's a 13.5-point favorite.
Tennessee's national championship good this year.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They look good with a freshman quarterback, too. Give me Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee, but I think Arkansas covers that. I can see that being a good game in Fayetteville. Number 8, Miami, Florida, 5-0. They should not be 5-0. They should be 4-1. Horrible reversal. There was no clear-cut evidence. At 3-1, Cal. So cross-country ACC matchup. Miami's 11.5-point favorites.
Pretty sure this is game day, too.
Out in Berkeley, it's a 10:30 start Eastern time.
I'm pretty sure it's game day, right?
I have no idea. Maybe that makes
sense.
Game
day this week. For some reason, I thought of, going to Cal Berkeley for Miami. That's Cal. Pretty cool. This will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week. My Canes go in there, and they start off 6-0. Have I watched a second of my Canes this year? No. But Cam Ward's winning the Heisman. I'll book it right now that he's winning the Heisman. My Canes. J-Man's Book of Predictions Week brought to you by – do we have the new read yet?
He has not sent it to us. So to Travis Watchering Insurance Agency.
Travis Watchering, by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. I'm sure he covers life, home, auto, business.
He's still offering the same stuff.
Workers' comp and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. I assume that's the same as the same.
I will message him this week. We will get that for next week. I will have that ready to go. But I'm taking the Bears.
Okay.
I'm taking the Cal Bears. Hokies got screwed by the refs.
A bad Virginia Tech team, too.
Yeah.
No one shows up to games in Miami. It's disappointing. They need their own stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought that for a while. But what do I know? I don't know much. So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about college football related?
I do not. The Braves have just won, so they are in the playoffs, and the Diamondbacks are done.
I was hoping
one of the Mets or Braves would miss it, but
I was hoping the Mets would miss it. But
me too.
I don't see them doing damage in the playoffs, though.
They're hot, but I don't know who they play, honestly.
Three NL East teams are in.
Yeah, Mets were looking pretty rough there. Middle of June, and they really turned it on.
Let's see if I can find who they play.
Ever since Grimace came and sat in the stands.
So, the wild card number two is the Mets, right?
Correct.
So, they will travel to San Diego.
Okay, and the Braves
will travel to Milwaukee.
Let's see here. I know I just saw it earlier. Most likely playoff scenarios have the Brewers and Mets playing, and the Padres or the Braves traveling to San Diego.
Oh, okay.
That's the most likely. So I assume that's the one that ended up happening. Yes, because if they ended up tied, Atlanta would be percentage points above the New York Mets. Okay. So the Mets got the third. Well, there we go.
So Mets, Brewers, Braves, yeah. Padres.
Honestly, I think the Mets got the better end of that stick, even though they felt a little bit down.
The Tigers are playing the Astros, Royals against the Orioles.
Story there in Detroit. Just 4 weeks ago, they came to Wrigley and like, okay, this team's done. Cubs should be able to handle them, and they did. They won 2 out of 3. Then they got hot, and it really coincided with Javi Baez getting hurt and out for the season, unfortunately for him. But they went, I think it was 31-13 over their final 43 games to make it. So first time in 10 years for Tigers.
When's the last time the Tigers and Lions made the playoffs the same year? Probably a long time.
Long time, I would say.
Yeah.
Long
time. Crazy.
Maybe
there's Tigers, hope for the Pistons.
Tigers were halfway decent. Our Lions were halfway decent in like 2014, 13. Maybe they snuck in one of those years when the Tigers were good too.
Yeah.
With Matt Stafford. So it might not be that long ago, but they're rarely good ever, let alone at the same time.
Yep. So maybe the Red Wings and Pistons have hope. Who knows? Yeah. Probably not. But do you want to get educated real quick before we talk NFL? Let's talk about some sporting events that happened on this day on September 30th. On this day, 1904, White Sox left-hander Doc White pitched his fifth shutout in 18 days.
They were built different back then.
They could have used a lot of Doc Whites on this White Sox team. That was officially the worst
team ever.
Ever. On this day, 1927, Babe Ruth hit his MLB record at the time, 60th home run. And the Yankees 4-2 win over the Washington Senators. On this day, 1939, the first televised college football game was played as Fordham beat Waynesburg 34-7. On this day, 1947, the first televised World Series baseball game took place as the Yankees beat the Brooklyn Dodgers 5-3 in Game 1 at Yankee Stadium. It was also the largest World Series crowd to date with 73,365 people in attendance. Struggling here. On this day, 1980, Oakland Athletics, can't say that anymore after this, outfielder Ricky Henderson set an AL stolen base record with his 97th in the A's 5-1 win over the White Sox. He broke Ty Cobb's mark of 96 set in 1915.
Oh, Ricky, he still has some good quotes. Like, I think this past week they asked him about Oakland moving to Sacramento or moving to Vegas. And I mean, they're going to Sacramento first. I don't care. I got too much money to care.
What a loser. Mike Tyson is news in 1988. On this day, 1989, Nolan Ryan's perfect game got broken up into eighth, but he gets his 300th strikeout. On this day, 1990, the White Sox beat the Mariners 2-1 in the last game at the original Comiskey Park.
They're wanting to build a new stadium again.
Some President's Cup stuff. On this day in 2012, the Ryder Cup at Medina Country Club. Europe came from behind, big margin from behind, retained the cup at 14.5 points to 13.5 points. They won 8 matches and tied one of the other 12 single matches after trailing 10-6. I remember that 2012 because it was pretty bad for the U.S. And on this day in 2018, the Ryder Cup was also held over in Europe. Europe regained the cup 17.5 to 10.5. Francesco Molinari won all 5 matches. Sergio became the biggest point scorer in event history at the time with 25.5 points. And that's going to do it for the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Facebook and on Instagram at Mooney Woodcrafts is their handle on there. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. And it is definitely not too early to get those signed orders in for Christmas because tomorrow's October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it is definitely Christmas buying season to where my wife already notified me today that if a few, pretty much I got notified not to open up any package that doesn't have my name on it. So she must have ordered me some Christmas stuff already. Yeah. So now she's got to hide it somewhere where I can't find it.
Yeah.
Yep. The NFL, National Football League. We got 4 weeks in the books now. I thought it was a pretty entertaining week 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 4 weeks will be in the books as of tonight.
Yeah. 3 winners, 3 losers.
You start us off here first.
Washington Commanders are my first winner.
Yeah.
They're one of those of the league. Teams that if I would have seen them play last week, you know, they played Monday night against the Bengals. I probably would have picked them to beat Arizona. And
I picked Arizona for 13 like a moron.
Well, I picked Arizona for 8, I think, 7 or 8. And, man, Jaden Daniels, it's only 4 games, But as of right now, he probably should have been the number one overall pick.
It's funny because he was a pick 6 last week, one of the guys I gave you, and you're like, I – don't got much on him. And now the last 2 weeks, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah. He's led 23 scoring drives this year and only has 19 incompletions.
Yeah.
81% completion percentage, which is the highest ever through first 4 games in the NFL. He's looked electric. That offense has looked electric. So
Cliff Kingsbury, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he's finally, the lights finally turned on for him.
Dan Quinn, good for Dan Quinn too.
Yeah, he's a good head coach, and he deserved another shot.
Yep.
After maybe the biggest choke job, one of the biggest choke jobs in sports history.
Yep.
They look decent.
My first win is the Baltimore Ravens. They were awesome last night on Sunday Night Football, taking it to Josh Allen and the Bills. When the Ravens are clicking, I think they're the biggest threat to the Chiefs for the AFC.
Yeah, I agree. What was it? One of the first plays of the game, 87-yard touchdown to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, when Henry's running for $199.
Yeah.
On top of what Lamar can do, it's almost unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. My second winner for about every single week this year so far, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I think they're for real. Awful. I think they're for real. Sam Darnold's playing the best football of his career. He's got two really good wide receivers. About let Green Bay come back. They're late, but they didn't. So they went in Green Bay, and the Packers are 2-0 with Malik Willis and 0-2 with Jordan Love.
Yep. My second winner is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. They looked ticked off after losing last week to the Denver Broncos, and they put a shellacking on the Eagles. Baker was clicking. Godwin was clicking. Evans was clicking. Defense played well and good for a team in the state of Florida, especially Tampa, that was really affected by the hurricane. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was good to see.
My last winner is the Chicago Bears. 2-2. That pains
you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Caleb Williams played his best game of his career so far. He looked pretty solid. Made a beautiful throw to DJ Moore for a touchdown. That defense is really, really good. So if they can get to 20 points every game, they got to feel pretty good about their chances. But they found a run game yesterday for the first time. So, yeah.
My last winner is the Indianapolis Colts. They knocked off the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't give the Colts much of a chance.
No.
And credit to Joe Flacco. Anthony Richardson goes out with an injury, and you kind of said it last week. You thought Flacco would give this team a better chance to win, and he looked the part yesterday, and good win for them against Steelers. Yeah. Steelers almost came back and got it, but because I know home field advantage is different in NFL than it is college football, but, man, nobody travels like the Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
Right.
So they invade stadiums and with those terrible towels. So good win for the Colts. Yeah. All of a sudden they're 500.
Yeah, I've been to a Sunday night game in Miami when the Steelers were there, and they were about 40% Steeler fans. They made the atmosphere incredible. But, yeah, they travel very, very well.
Yep. My first Bronco game out in Denver was Peyton Manning's first game in 2012. It was against the Steelers, and they traveled well that night too. So,
yep.
All right, want to get into our pick 'em?
We got to do losers still.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. you want me to start off with losers?
Sure.
I'm not just saying this because my favorite team beat them, but the New York Jets.
Yeah, they're on my list.
They are hyped up, and they're sitting now at 2-2, and they got a game in London against the Minnesota Vikings who are red hot, and Aaron Rodgers got a little beat up yesterday. That Bronco defense, I think is a good, legit defense. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Vance Joseph. I've been hard on the guy in the past, but he knows what he's doing. Ever since that shellacking in Miami, he figured something out to turn it around. And if he keeps this up, he's going to get some head coaching looks, which is kind of crazy to think about, but
very crazy.
Probably happen. Yeah, they put Aaron Rodgers into the ground. I mean, like I said, it was pouring down rain. Bo Nix struggled to hold on to the ball. He was shot putting the ball around. But Aaron still threw for over 200 yards, but he didn't look like himself in that weather. And I thought Robert Saleh made some interesting coaching decisions yesterday, too, that helped win in the Broncos' favor. But, 2-2 is probably not the start the Jets wanted.
Yeah, and honestly, they could have lost Tennessee as well, but they didn't. Yeah, Rodgers, his timing looks off with his receivers, and, you know, he was out there skipping mini camps and all that.
He's doing this at his wide receivers yesterday.
To go do as many drugs as possible in the offseason, and he doesn't get this timing down with his wide receivers, and here we are. And he's frustrated, and I don't think he can stand Robert Saleh.
He loves Hackett, though. Loves himself from Nate Hackett.
Which makes no sense. They had first and 10 inside the Broncos 40 on that final drive, and they just picked up four more yards, and Greg the Leg had to try to attempt a 50 something yarder in rain, terrible conditions.
Had a heart attack,
missed it poorly. Yep. So, and that's on Rodgers for not getting his team in a better position to kick field goal. So, my first loser, the Philadelphia Eagles, they were once outgained. I think it was 155-0 at one point. I don't think this is a good Eagles team. I don't think Nick Sirianni is a good head football coach. He's arrogant.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
And he hasn't been able to back it up. And they don't look the same. Honestly, without Jason Kelce, their offensive line has not looked the same. Never been a big Jalen Hurts believer, and he is making it easy to jump off that bandwagon.
My second loser is the L.A. Chargers. I know they're banged up. So are the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, Rashid Rice, out for the season after yesterday's injury. Friendly fire for Patrick Mahomes. You had a 10-0 lead at home against these guys. You got a chance to put them away. And yet again, like they have many times in the past, you let the Chiefs come back and beat you.
Yep.
I just can't, you know, until somebody really flexes their muscles, I can't take anybody else seriously in the AFC West to uncrown these guys.
And I don't
even though they're trying. They're trying to let teams pick them off right now.
I don't think they're that good either. That's the thing. They haven't played that. Mahomes has thrown second most picks in the NFL. They're not scoring points like they have. Their defense is very good.
Travis Kelce's washed, saying it.
Travis Kelce looks old and out of shape and slow. And they lose Rashee Rice, and they don't have Hollywood Brown. So if anybody's going to knock them off, it's got to be this year because they're just going to reload. But
It's kind of, you know, I've been harping for the last couple of years on this podcast how lucky they get from an injury standpoint. Mm-hmm. This year they're finally having the bug bite them.
Yeah. Cleveland Browns.
They're awful.
They're bad. Deshaun Watson's a bad quarterback. That's one of the worst deals in NFL history.
Amari Cooper can't catch all of a sudden.
Amari Cooper's having a bad year. That deal for Deshaun Watson is worse than the Broncos Russell Wilson one, I think.
I think it is too.
At least the Broncos are smart enough to just say, okay, this isn't working. Right. After 2 years, we're going to go different direction where the Browns are just kind of stuck. So,
oh man, my third loser. I'm actually going to Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way they played week two against the Rams. Even last week, they hung in there for a while against the Lions, but man, they just got clocked yesterday at home. I think they're going to move on from Kyler Murray eventually, even though he's not the problem, but not the only problem. But the only bright thing they got going for Marvin Harrison Jr. is a stud.
So. Yeah. After the first week where like he looks slow, he's been great three weeks since.
Yeah.
So my final loser, New Orleans Saints, they've kind of woken back up here a little bit. Young Hoku, 58-yarder, huge kick for Atlanta. They needed that game too. Yep. Never been a big Derek Carr guy. You know that. And,
Dan J-Man Show Nation knows that too. You've been harping that.
They looked out of this world the first 2 weeks, but have, come back to earth.
And if NFL defenses catch up with offenses, we know
very
that.
Quick. You don't have to tell me that.
What, the run and shoot? They caught up to the run and shoot offense?
Yeah. They caught up to the Dolphins pretty quick.
Well, how are you feeling now tonight about the Fins? How are you feeling?
Cautiously optimistic. New quarterback in there.
Two and a half point favorites.
We'll see how it goes. Low expectations, which makes it easier to watch because if their schedule sets up to be okay, if they can just find a way to win two of these next three, I mean, they have probably the two worst teams on paper in the NFL, and the Titans and Patriots, and then they play the Colts. Find away two of the next three. You're 3-3 heading into the bye, and hopefully two is back. So, got to win tonight.
Any chance Seahawks come out tonight as a third undefeated team, or do they take the L, right? Yeah.
They lose. Yeah.
I think so.
Too. They're not winning in Detroit. Yep. They do get Kenneth Walker back, but I don't think they're that good.
So. Yeah. No, I think they're pretty fraudulent 3-0, to be honest. Yeah. But Thursday Nighter. Pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Atlanta Falcons.
Give me the Falcons for 7.
I'm taking the Buccaneers for 5. So right off the gate, we are differing big time. And I don't know why I'm taking the Buccaneers for 5. I don't know. They were clicking yesterday. So Jets at Vikings. Like I said, this game is in London.
In London. I keep picking against the Vikings. I'm not doing it this week, which means they'll probably lose. Give me the Vikings for 6.
I keep picking against the Vikings. I feel like this is a common theme on the podcast the last few years, and I don't mean to. I'm taking the Jets for 4 just because I think they're going to be mad.
We'll see.
Miami Dolphins at New England Patriots. I really wish I could watch the Dolphins play tonight before I pick this game.
Me too. I think Dolphins are better. They're as a full roster, they're better. But they
100%.
They have $344 million missing tonight on their roster. But give me the Dolphins for 1.
Taking the Patriots for 3. But like I said, I think the Dolphins are better. I don't know what to expect on the quarterback tonight. Yeah, so, I have
no clue.
So and it's a road environment. So
yeah.
Carolina Panthers at Chicago Bears.
Give me the Bears for 11.
taking the Bears for 12. Bears longest home win streak in the NFL at 7. That's pretty crazy, right? Yeah. Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars, the only team in the league. Well, Titans still have not won a game.
give me Jacksonville for 9.
I'm taking the Jags for 6. I think Indianapolis struggles in Jacksonville for some reason.
Jags are not good, though. Trevor Lawrence is bad. He's a bad quarterback. I'll say it.
Yep. There you go. It's been said. Buffalo Bills at Houston Texans. Pretty interesting one here.
It is. I think the Bills bounce back. Give me the Bills for 3.
I got the Bills for 7. I'm right there with you. Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals have been very uninspiring so far. So give me the Ravens for 5.
I got the Ravens for 10. Mm. Cleveland Browns at the Washington Commanders.
Give me Washington for 10. I'm on the Commanders bandwagon.
I got the Commanders for 14. Dang. I don't like this Browns team. And there are byes. There's 4 teams on byes this upcoming week. So that's
Lions, Titans, Eagles, Chargers on bye.
There you go. Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49ers.
That's my 14-pointer. Give me the Niners.
That's my 13-pointer. Niners 13. Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos. The Raiders have an 8-game winning streak in this rivalry. The Broncos haven't won in the 2020s. The Raiders.
Yeah, I think that ends this week. Give me Denver for 2.
I'm bleeding too much orange and blue right now. Broncos for 8. Wearing the throwback unis. Yeah. Everything feels good. That means it's going to come crashing down.
I was going to say, you've been in that spot before.
Too many times. I was texting with good buddy of the show, Jeff Ryan, yesterday. I'm like 2-2. Got the Raiders and Chargers back-to-back home games. Feeling good. That's when things come crashing down. But Purdue has brought my spirits down enough. I need something positive.
Here. Absolutely.
So, New York Giants at Seattle Seahawks.
Give me the Seahawks for 13.
Taking Seahawks for 11. I mean, I don't think they're very good, but they're better than Giants.
Especially if Malik Nabers is out for a while.
Oh, yeah. Jones got nobody to throw to. Not that he's Green...
good anyway.
Right. Green Bay Packers at L.A. Rams. Interesting one. Rams need this.
They do. Give me the Rams for 4.
I got the Rams for 2. Sunday night, Dallas Cowboys at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Dallas has also been uninspiring. However, I don't think Pittsburgh is as good as their record. Give me Dallas for 8.
I got the Cowboys for 1. So, kind of right there with you. And Monday nighter, New Orleans Saints at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs for 12.
I'm taking the Chiefs for 9. Don't even think they're as good as their record, but hey, got to play who's on your schedule, and they're better than the Saints.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Birdie or bogey, one more time for you. Let me get my wording of the question right here. What starting pitcher has the most no decisions in MLB history with 188 no decisions?
Nolan Ryan.
Great guess. That's who I guessed.
Let me guess again.
Yes, I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more for a par. No, one more for birdie even. I'll give you one more for birdie.
Jamie Moyer. Nice.
That's a heck of a guess. A name I haven't thought of in years, but no. Yeah. Any more guesses?
Greg Maddux.
Another great guess, but no. Oh,
shoot. Give it to me.
Tommy John.
Wouldn't even thought of Tommy John. All right, I'm going to have to text Sean and...
Tommy John, 288 wins, 231 losses, second Cy Young voting twice and finished fourth and eighth in 2 other years. He had a 3.38 ERA, 4,710 innings pitched, 26 years, but he's not in the Hall of Fame.
That's crazy. And, I mean, he had the most legendary surgery. I mean, the surgery's named after him. It seems like he should be in the Hall of Fame considering how many guys have had his surgery.
Yep. He should be in Hall of Fame. Should a lot of other people who aren't. So.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show.
Fins up.
Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll be back at her next Monday.
Go Titans!